This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Necessary Roughness with 11-year NFL veteran, Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year, and captain of the National Championship Michigan Wolverines, John Jansen. And 10-year NFL veteran, two-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle, and Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, T.J. Lang. Now, here's John Jansen and T.J. Lang.
Well, T.J., we talked last Monday, and it was the beginning of the tampering period, legal tampering, and we threw out a whole bunch of names. Not many of them stuck, but you did hit one. That was Marcus Davenport. You and I were texting throughout the day and watching all of the unbelievable numbers that were heading out there. And I got to be honest with you, this is the year. If you were a free agent guard,
man,
this was the year to be a free agent guard. Are you thinking about coming out of retirement?
Yeah, that was my first thought. I wish I was still playing.
Yeah, no shit.
You see Jonah, man, going for 17. Good for him. Kind of talked about, you know, his ceiling. He's still a young player. He's a good player, man. He deserves that money. I think it's a good signing. It's going to be it was a big loss at the time for this team. But, man, who's the other guy? The Dickerson from Philly signing for $20 million a year at guard.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, quarterbacks weren't even getting paid that much money back when I first started in the NFL. So, yeah, good for those guys, though, man. It's good to see maybe, I guess, the wage gap starting to shrink a little bit, because for so long the salary cap would jump up, and the only position it really affected was quarterbacks.
Right.
Quarterbacks, you know, 10 years ago were making $20, $25 million. Now they're double that, right? $50, $55 million, soon to be probably $60. Everybody else was kind of going, hey, just – $1 million at a time. Okay, we'll sign for 15. Yeah. Oh, now
marginal
16.
Increases.
Right, and then you know that it's taken a while for, I think, the rest of the positions to kind of slow that gap a little bit between what the quarterbacks are normally taking. So good for those guys. A lot of guys got paid this year. The Lions losing Jonah Jackson, I'm sure next year that will account for probably a third round compensatory pick.
Sure, they're going to start getting some compensatory picks because. People are going to start coveting
players. And you're not going to be able to sign. And that's a good problem, right, man? That means your GM's doing a good job when you've got too many
guys
great players
sign.
That you can't pay them all, right? So I think we're starting to get a taste of that. But after it's good now after, you know, I guess a full week to kind of sit back and look and say, okay, what did this team do? Because, sure, after the first 12 hours or maybe even after the first 24 hours, a lot of people probably disappointed, right? A little bit. Hey, where are the Lions at, man? What are we doing? We're not getting any of these high priced guys.
Everybody overreacts.
Right. After a week now where we've kind of seen everything settle down and we've seen Brad Holmes stick to the plan that he told us he was going to stick to, try to find some needs, try to find some guys that can come in, but not overpay. I think that's exactly what he did. So I'm excited, man. I asked him to go, you know, last show I said, you know, you got to come out of free agency with at least two new starters. Looks like they're probably going to have four, right? Yep. So if not five, depending on how that defensive backfield shakes up. But Zeitler is going to be a starter. We have Carlton Davis is going to be a starter. DJ Reader is going to be a starter. Marcus Davenport has a chance, you know, to be a starter depending on his health and what he looks like. And then, you know, Robertson, you know, as a defensive back, does he have a chance to be a starter too? So I think bottom line is, in, when you look at in totality of what they've done so far, free agency is still not over. Free agency is still a long way to go. There's still going to be a couple more, maybe 1 year deals, 2 year deals on veteran guys that, now the market, they've kind of felt out. Now they can really try to pick out. Maybe the Lions can still be in play for one or two more pieces. So it's far from over. But so far, you look at this roster and you I can't help but to feel this team got better, right? This team got better. I know we didn't hit the lottery and get the big fish, the Christian Wilkins or the Danielle Hunters. But the bottom line is this team got better. The team that was a couple plays away from being in the Super Bowl last year got better going into this year. So I'm excited about it. I think that, you know, the people that they brought in not only fit this culture, but can make a big difference. So I'm pumped, you know, and hopefully, like I said, hopefully it's not even over. Hopefully we still get, you know, one or two more guys and coming and help.
Yeah. Add to the depth of this team. And that's where I think Brad Holmes has done a great job through the last 3 years, whether it's free agency or draft, is increasing the depth of talent on this team. So you're not necessarily looking at it going, well, one guy goes down, season's over.
Yeah.
Now that is excluding the quarterback position, because if that happens anywhere, you're pretty much your season's over, or at least the hopes and dreams of winning a Super Bowl. So
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I do want to ask you this, because Kevin Zeitler is a right guard. He comes in, and I think they may have even said it. I know they think they told him he's going to be the right guard. Graham Glasgow has played both sides, but primarily a right guard.
Yeah.
How big of a deal is it at this point of Graham's career for him to switch from right to left?
It's going to be an adjustment. You know, it certainly will. I think the positive side is Graham played, I think it was his first 4 years, on the left side. You know, the first couple of years, I think he was bouncing back between center and guard. And then when they drafted Frank, Graham moved out to guard eventually. So he has experience there. Now you're talking probably 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, it will be an adjustment for him to get back into a left guard stance. So you just have to flip everything. I went through that change earlier in my career. I was a left guard the first couple of years, and I moved to right guard. It was very difficult. I mean, just even trying to find a stance, but I didn't have any experience playing the right side. So it was a whole different learning curve for me. So I guess for Graham, though, at least he's got some familiarity, right? He's got a ton of reps banked in his memory, you know, to say, okay, I'm back to the left side. This is what I used to do here. I'm good. I used to tell people, though, it's not easy to just say, oh, just flip him to the right side, right? Draft a left tackle and we'll put Decker on the right side. Like that, it doesn't work like that, man. It's right. So difficult to do. And I can't take credit for this one, but Josh Sitton was the other guard in Green Bay when we flip-flopped, and he was asked about it. And, you know, he put it the best way that I could probably put it, too. He said, imagine wiping your ass with your other hand. Like it's awkward, man. Like it doesn't feel right. You know, it's weird. Like it's you're not going to like it.
Right.
You get some, you know, on your hands a little bit, on your fingers. Like it's not comfortable. It's not easy. And it's difficult, but at least, like I said, Graham has experience of being that versatile guy. Right. So it's going to be adjustment for him. But totality, like you hit it. I mean, you know, we talked about the needs and the offensive line and what makes this team go, and still trying to find a way to build up front and make sure you're solid there and solidify that group. That's what they did. And so, you know, as long as those guys, I even hate when people say that, oh, as long as they can stay healthy, there's a risk for anybody to, you know, get hurt at any given time in this league. We know that. But at least on paper, it looks like this line, I'm not going to say got better yet than where they were last year, but it's still solid. You know, it's still solid.
I think it's as good.
I think it's as good, right? And a lot of that depends on, honestly, Graham, like, we've given Graham so much love on this show for what he's done and what he did last year coming in and solidifying this group. Is he going to be a better left guard than Jonah Jackson was? That for me, I don't know yet. You know what I mean? Because I think Jonah was underrated. I know there's a lot of people that said, oh, he wasn't the best, you know, pass protector. Oh, he wasn't the best this. I thought Jonah was a really, really solid guard. I did. And that's the question for me now is Graham. I think, look, did you get better at right guard? You got Kevin Zeitler, who's a Pro Bowl guy who is, you know, been one of the most consistent players at right guard for the last 12 years. Like, that's not fair, in my opinion, to compare him to Graham, a guy who was basically on a one-year prove-it deal last year, who played admirable, who played great, who had a really good season. But did you get better at right guard? I think you did get a little bit better at right guard. Now, did you get better at left guard? It depends on how Graham, how quickly he can adjust to left guard, because he is a plus player in this league. We proved that last year. But is he going to be as good as Jonah Jackson to maybe start the season? Probably not. It's probably going to take him a little bit of time to get used to that left guard spot. But I think that's why I said I think they're probably just as good when you balance things out, right? And they're going to have a chance, in my opinion, to get better. It's just going to depend on how these guys fit in, how Zeitler fits into this offense, how Graham fits into playing that left guard spot. But I do think that they've you know, pretty much solidified that group to at least keep earning that right to be called probably a top three offensive line in this league.
And I think some of it goes to the equation that is the salary cap. Now, we've seen, you know, the Eagles and we've seen some other teams seem to create, you know, salary cap space out of nowhere. But with where the Lions are right now, I don't know that in terms of the contract that Graham signed, right? He's going to be making, you know, what is it? It's about
like six and a half
a year. Is Jonah Jackson $11 million a year better than Graham Glasgow?
No.
And so that's
no, where player I look wise,
in terms of player wise, in terms of value. So not only are you able to bring in a guy like Zeitler, who, yeah, you're going to be a little bit better at that position, and left guard, TBD. I'll just leave it at
fair.
That. I think they're as good as a unit as they were last year. But now you're able to do some other things in free agency because you didn't lock up that much at that left guard position. You're going to get really quality play, and you didn't break the bank. And that's why I said, you know what, was I disappointed to lose Jonah Jackson? Yeah, you don't want to lose a good player, but I didn't want to overpay him.
Yeah.
And we could sit here all day and argue, was he overpaid or not? I'm happy for all of these guys to get as much money as they possibly can. And you're worth what somebody's willing to pay. So I don't know that there is a definition of being overpaid in this league, because they valued out in LA, they paid their right guard handsomely. and now they've got their left guard who is paid handsomely. But we also, what we don't know yet is the direction that Brad Holmes wants to go in the draft. Yeah. Who are they going to take at 29? And I don't want to get into that discussion right now, but you know, in terms of the backups, we saw Owusika come in and play in the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. And at times throughout the year, there wasn't a huge drop off.
Yeah, he played well.
He didn't cost them in that game. And Storsdahl, I expect him to take a jump. I don't know how big a jump that's going to be, but I expect him to be better this year than he was last year. Those are two guys I think they're counting on to be reliable backups. You know, past that, you know, and obviously they re-signed Dan Skipper to be that backup tackle, right? Because if anything happens to Decker, we know they're going to move Sewell over. So you've got a guy that could come in at any of those positions. And if Frank goes down, obviously it's Graham. And then somebody comes in for Graham at the guard spot. So, but they also have a chance to continue to improve if they draft a guy like a JPJ out of Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson, or Zach Frazier out of West Virginia, who could be, you know, maybe as a rookie, if you draft him in the first round, they're probably going to find a way to get in that starting lineup, but could be a swing guy in the middle that backs up center in both guards.
Yeah.
And now you're all of a sudden, in terms of depth, you're much more confident of who's going to be going in there versus you know, who you have now.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and I've heard it a few times, but I really like the flexibility that they're going to have going into the draft.
Yeah.
Based off of the holes that they filled in free agency. Right. Look, last year, the top four picks in the draft all became starters, right, for the Lions. Laporta, Gibbs, Brian Branch, Jack Campbell. Like, that's four starters that are coming in as rookies. That's not going to happen this year. You know what I mean? There's not enough holes. There's not many holes left on this team where you can say, even if it's pick 29, if they stay there and take, you know, the best available player, they want to build depth to their offensive line, or maybe continue to build depth in their defensive secondary, because you don't have a ton of guys still signed to future contracts in that position. I don't really see a situation, unless you absolutely hit a home run, where you get a guy that comes in and starts from day one. You know what I mean? Like, this offensive line looks set, right? Unless you take, let's say there's a receiver sitting there at 29 and you say, man, we feel really good about this guy, had a top 15, you know, grade on him, we want to take him. Receiver might be a position where you can come in and contribute, I think, day one, depending on still what they do with Josh Reynolds and maybe that number three position, assuming that Jameson gets elevated to the number two.
Yeah.
But offensive line, I don't think you're going to go find a player that's going to come in and beat any of these guys out.
Right.
Defensive line, I mean, maybe if you get an edge guy, but you're not going to come in and beat out Aleem McNeil, DJ Reed, or Aiden Hutchinson.
No.
Marcus Davenport's if probably going to have that spot. Linebackers are pretty much set. Secondary, I mean, you got Cam Sutton, you got Emmick Robinson, you got Carlton Davis. You know what I mean? So there's not that many holes where we were last year where we said, wow, Laporta's going to be our starting tight end. Wow, Gibbs is going to be our starting halfback. Oh, Jack Campbell's going to be our starting linebacker. Brian Branch is going to be starting in the secondary. I don't think you don't have that, right? And that's a good problem to have, because now you don't have to reach, right? You don't have to go out there and reach and say, we still got a glaring hole in the secondary, or we got to be able to find a starting guard because we whiffed in free agency. You don't have that. And I think that gives you a lot of flexibility if you're Brad Holmes, what you want to do. Now, do you get to a point at 29 and you say, there's nobody worth it taking in the first round? Can we find a way to get more picks and drop back? Every team, I think, would love to drop back and add more picks. The problem is, and people don't think about this a lot, you got to have a team that's willing to come up. You got to have a team that's willing to come up. And at what point do you say, we're not going to trade back just to trade back and maybe get ripped off on a deal? It's still got to be, you know, worth doing. But, I really like the position that they're going to be in, because it feels like there's not really one position where you look at and you say, we have to get the best player at this particular position.
Right.
I think Brad Holmes, you just trust him to say, because the board's going to fall in weird ways. We know that. It does every year. There's going to be a team in the top 10 or in the top 15 that takes a guy that everybody else is like, what? Like, who? Yeah. They just took who? You know what I mean? And naturally, that's going to bump some guys down. So
that was the Lions last year with Jameer Gibbs.
That was the Lions, right? And it was probably with Brian Branch, too. I mean, they didn't think they were going to get him in a second. Yeah.
They didn't think he was going to fault him. It wasn't the surprise pick. It was the surprise that he was there.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, but I just think, man, the way that he set this up feels like it's what we've been saying. The window was open. Like, maybe it's open before you were ready for it to be open, but it's open. You know what I mean? And I think maybe after you watch this free agency and we see some of the short-term deals, this lets you know, hey, man, like, we feel like we're there. We feel like we're there. We feel like we can do exactly what we did last year, if not only that, but exceed it and actually have a chance to go do something special. That's what it feels like to me. So, and you know what? I think Brad Holmes has earned our trust, and respect it. Just kind of let him do his job, see how things play out, like you like to say, and see where this thing goes.
Well, so Brad Holmes, before free agency opened up, came on with Jim Costa and I in the morning, and he basically laid out the game plan, and he's followed it. It is filling needs in free agency so that you can go to the draft and draft best available. We have no idea what that's going to be at 29, if they move up, if they move back. But to your point, they've addressed their needs. They addressed it in the secondary. They addressed it up front. They addressed it with the offensive line. Now, let me ask you this, and I'm not going to ask you to break down cornerback play, but I think when you bring in a player like Carlton Davis, he allows Aaron Glenn as a defensive play caller to get back to what he likes to be, and that's a man cover guy.
Yeah.
So I'll just ask you in these terms, where this roster was last year with Cam Sutton, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and some of the guys that they had in the secondary, is this secondary, do you think it's better at this point on paper, because we haven't played any games, than it was last year? Did they improve?
Yeah, way better. Now, what I like to see you go add another safety and kind of fill that CJ role. Sure. I think Ify Melifonwu certainly took a step last year. Hopefully it can take another step this year. Kirby Joseph, kind of know what he is, right? But still hope that he continues to get better. But I would like to see them add another safety to that group to kind of fill that CJ role. But you look at the outside guys, you know, you got to be better, right? Cam Sutton, I think it was unfair last year to kind of throw him into the number one spot. Maybe that was unfair. Maybe that was unrealistic expectation to say he's going to be the guy to lock down Justin Jefferson and DJ Moore and, you know, Cooper Kupp. You know what I mean? Like that didn't really seem like a fair deal to Cam Sutton. No offense to him. But I think he's much better suited off in that number two role, right? And Carlton Davis is a guy that, you know, a couple of years ago, I mean, this guy was making plays all over the place, right? I think he missed some games last year. Tampa Bay had a decision to make a couple of years back where we're going to keep Jamel Dean or we're going to keep Carlton Davis, right? And they made a tough choice to keep Jamel Dean. And Carlton Davis went, you know, last year, and Carlton Davis signed the extension,
right?
I don't know. I'm not big into the PFF stats, the zone versus man. I will tell you, he is a much better man player. Like you mentioned, Aaron Glenn at the end of last year had to transform his defense. They were not getting pressure. They were not coveraging well enough in the secondary. He said, you know what? We're just going to turn into a multiple scheme, exotic blitz look. We're going to pressure the hell out of you. We're going to put seven guys on the line. And it worked. You know what I mean? But I don't think Aaron Glenn would tell you that's the type of defense he wants to run, because you will have some holes there. If you're sending pressure like we saw last year, there's an opportunity for a lot of big plays in the passing game. I think he wants to get more back to the four-man rush, to playing his man defense and finding guys to fit that role and building it around your players. And Carlton Davis, to me, is a guy that can be a number one corner in a man-to-man defense. I think he's been very, very good in that role. So I would love to see him. Look, I get, you know, when he was asked about, hey, do you want to sign an extension here? He said, look, I just got here, man. This is my first day. Like, let me get my feet wet. Let me get used to the building, right? Let me get used to the coaches, the teammates, the city. Is this a place where I want to, you know, bring my family and stay here for the next five? I have no problem with that, right? That's how you should be able to be as a player, to have that option, to have that choice. I would love to see them lock him up to maybe a 3 or 4 year deal, just so you have some certainty of who your corner is going to be for the foreseeable future. Right. And that would be, you know, you don't want to give up a third round pick for a guy on a 1 year deal, right? Especially at that position, unless you are a Jalen Ramsey, right? And Carlton Davis isn't that, but he is still a good player. So, you know, I think going back, and man, I know, shit, I've been really long winded, but yes, the secondary is better, right? Jerry Jacobs was your number two starter last year. And no offense to Jerry Jacobs, but Jerry Jacobs is, you know, still looking for a team right now. Right. You know what I mean? By the end of last year, I mean, he wasn't even dressing, or if he was, he was playing on special teams. Right. So, this secondary is way better. I don't know a ton about, Amik Robertson. I don't, I mean, I think that the last couple
solid
years, he was
4 years
kind of a role player type guy. Wasn't really a number one, wasn't really number two, but comes in on a nickel, comes in on dime. You know, I went back and kind of spent some time, and I kind of went through what the Raiders were saying. You know what I mean? Because usually when you lose a player in free agency, you'll have some guys that either don't say anything at all. You know, hey, okay, whatever, he signed there. And then sometimes you get guys that are like, man, like that one hurt. You're like, I didn't want to lose him. Amik Robertson had a lot of guys. Max Crosby, who's a friend of mine, was, you know, man, I'm bummed to lose this guy, man. Detroit's getting a dog. You know, I'm going to miss this guy. Like, you see messages like that.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, man, clearly this guy has a good reputation with his teammates, right? And his teammates see what kind of potential that he has. So hopefully he can come in and be an impact player too. But I think this gives Aaron Glenn more versatility on what he wants to do on the back end, right? Brian Branch was kind of forced into that nickel role last year. Can you open him up a little bit more and maybe make him the free safety type guy in third downs and let him roam around? You don't know if he's blitzing. You don't know if he's dropping deep. You don't know if he's covering down low, kind of like that Antoine Winfield junior role that he plays in Tampa Bay. Right. So I think you're going to have a ton of flexibility and versatility of what you want to do with these guys. And, you know, Brad Holmes, we said with all the receipts he came out with after the season, I think the one thing was like, man, you better take care of that secondary, right? And on paper so far, you know, he's put in a tremendous effort to take care of that secondary.
And the wild card is really going to be Emmanuel Mosley. We don't know what he's going to be, and I don't know that they're counting on him. They did sign him to another year deal. But just as the base defense right now, if they go out there in base, you're going to have one corner in Carlton Davis. He's going to be CB1. And then you probably have Cam Sutton starting the season off as cornerback two. Emmanuel Mosley gets healthy. Now, all of a sudden, rotating those three guys around, if he gets back to where he was 2 years ago, that's a good group of corners. Yeah. And then, you know, in terms of safety, you got Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, Ife Melifonwu. You talk about unlocking Aaron Glenn's defense. You have the ability to rotate three at corner, three at safety. And then you throw in Amik Robertson, who you mentioned, you know, hey, the guys that are in the locker room, they're not going to bullshit you. If this guy is a dog, if he's a player, we don't want to lose him. That's a guy you're adding to that mix, and you're not going to set him out there on Justin Jefferson man-to-man coverage for 20 different reps. That's not who he is. You're not asking him to do that, but you can sprinkle him in, give a guy a spell, use him in a different ways, and now all of a sudden, yeah, I think you are a lot better in the secondary. And then in terms of defensive line, the other big signing, obviously, was we talked about Marcus Davenport. He's on that one-year prove-it deal. Can he stay healthy? If he does, I think that helps Aiden Hutchinson. It helps that front. But the big signing was DJ Reader.
Yeah.
You know, and the run defense was huge in last year's success. They made a strength even better in terms of the run defense, but they've also added the ability to press the pocket from inside.
Yeah, and DJ Reader, look, he's not known, I don't think, for being a pass rushing guy.
He doesn't have the numbers of getting home.
Yeah, but I mean, his most sacks in the last 8 years of any year is like 2.5, right? So I'm not saying he doesn't get home, but right. You look at his stats and you're like, oh man, this guy can't pass rush. I think that's not true. I mean, he does get a lot of pressures, right? He is maybe not the guy you want playing that just coming in on third down to pass rush, but he's a three down player and he's really good against the run. I look at his film a little bit and, you know, fans will remember that like Snacks Harrison was a guy who was a big, just space eating defensive tackle, right? I played against him in New York. He played in Detroit for a couple of years. Really good against the run, but didn't really have much pass rush. DJ Reader to me is kind of the same type of player where he's going to eat up a ton of space with a lot more quickness. You know what I mean? With a lot more agility, with a lot more wiggle and, you know, like offensive, like a little bit of shit to him, right? The guy that can go out there and win some one-on-ones. Seems like a tremendous personality, tremendous character. I mean, kind of the same way we heard, you know, the Raiders kind of oohing and on about leaving, you know, Robertson leaving. I mean, I think DJ Reader's had some teammates are like, man, like we hate to lose that guy. You know what I mean? He meant a lot to this team. I think he was a captain last couple of years in Cincinnati. So you're bringing in obviously the Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell type of guy too. What else is that going to do? I mean, it's probably going to put a jolt in the ass of some of your young defensive linemen at saying, you know what, man, like this, shit, like I got to get my stuff going now, right? Like they brought in this guy for a reason. You know, I was hoping this was going to be my chance to do it. Maybe this is a time where the light switches on, much like we saw last year with Derek Barnes, right? You go out and draft Jack Campbell, Derek Barnes sitting there saying, man, like I thought that was going to be my spot. Oh, I better pick my shit up, right? I got to get going. I think that's going to play very similar to a lot of these young defensive linemen that you have when you go out and get DJ Reader and a guy like Davenport to come in and say, man, like I gotta pick it up, right? You know what I mean? Maybe that light bulb is going to go off for some of those young players that really haven't been playing at a consistent enough level based off of the expectations when they got here. So I think DJ Reader is going to be a tremendous help. And him and Aleem McNeil, I mean, that's a lot of beef in the middle of that defense, right?
It frees up your linebackers to make a lot of plays.
Benito Jones was, I think, an admirable guy to watch over the last couple of years. But when he's your starting defensive tackle, you know, we got room to improve, right? Yep. And to go out there and get one of not the best defensive tackle on the market, we obviously know that was Christian Wilkins, but get a guy that's in the same realm of type of player, to me, I mean, like we kind of said, man, a home run, you know, you filled the need and you filled it with a guy that we know can be a dog out there, right? And that can definitely help this team.
From a tackle's perspective, you know, DJ Reader is a guy, I've always thought of it this way, like the centers and guards, you've got to protect the depth of the pocket, where the tackles, we got to protect the width of the pocket. And if he may not have a lot of numbers in terms of pressures or sacks or QB hits, but if he just doesn't allow that quarterback to step up, now all of a sudden as a tackle, when I'm looking at the protections and I know, hey, the quarterback's going to be at 9.5, I've got to get my guy to 10, 10.5, because he doesn't have the ability to step up. Aleem McNeil is going to be there. DJ Reader is going to be there. It's going to change how offensive tackles at times will set on Aiden Hutchinson or set on Marcus Davenport or James Houston, who's really good at making that corner short. When you don't have that ability as a quarterback to step up in the pocket, you don't believe you're going to have that comfort level. He may not be putting a hit on a quarterback, but he's affecting the decisions the quarterback are making simply because you don't have that ability to set up. I mean, you know this better than anybody. You don't want to be hopping back and your feet are right at the quarterback's feet by the time that ball is thrown, because you don't want the quarterback's hand to come down on your helmet. And, you know, getting back to our offensive line, when I say offensive line, the Detroit Lions offensive line, adding a good pass protector in Zeitler also adds to the security that you don't want your quarterback to be hit. We don't want Jared Goff running around. We know that's not a strength of his. But you also don't want him to take hits. If it's after the throw, yeah. I mean, slow as molasses. But you don't want him to take hits. And if you bring in a guy that's a better pass protector, the success of this team ultimately rides on the health of Jared Goff.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, you don't want to give up sacks, but you don't even want to give up hits. You don't want to give up pressures. And when you have guys added to that offensive line that prevent those hits and prevent Jared Goff from having to do what he sucks at, and that's moving around in the pocket or outside the pocket, now all of a sudden, you know, we get back to, is the offensive line better? It's at least as good, in my opinion. Is the defensive line better? Yes, because you have different ways of compressing the pocket of the quarterback. And then you think about the way that the safeties and the secondary can add in. You're freeing up Jack Campbell. You're freeing up Alex Anzalone and Derek Barnes at the linebacker position. To me, this is a defense that last year improved from the year before. They were a 32nd ranked defense.
Yeah.
They were right around like 18 last year. Now this year going into it, I expect this to be a defense that is pushing. I don't know that they're going to be a top 10 defense, but they're pushing to be a top 10 defense. They could be anywhere, I think, between like 8 and 12. Those are the expectations I have for this defense.
Well, you should be a much more consistent defense, right? Yeah. I think that's what it comes down to. And two of the biggest strengths of this team last year were your offensive line, and we're honestly on the defensive side, being able to stop the run. Right. That was an underrated part of what the Lions defense did last year when they were pretty much top three for the entire season at stopping the run. Those areas are extremely important to building a football team. Right. And those were two of your strengths coming out of last year. You had some holes there based off of how free agency was going to go, but you went and filled those. Right. You should be able to, like we said, be as good, if not better, on the offensive line and still be able to be consistent on the defensive line and the front seven at slowing down the run while getting better in the secondary. Right. And the one thing, look, on the offensive side of the ball, Kevin Zeitler is probably one of the best pass blocking guards over the last decade.
Yeah.
The guy just doesn't get beat. And when he does, it's kind of slow and late, and he doesn't get beat like with quickness. You know what I mean? He doesn't really get beat with power. This, to me, when you look at it, you can basically say, and this is why I go back to, let's, even if Graham to start off is not as good as Jonah Jackson as was at left guard, you look at it and you say, basically this right side of my line is locked down. Yeah. You know what I mean? Penasul is not going to be beat. Kevin Zeitler is not going to be beat. We're probably going to ask more out of you guys. We're not going to slide the protection to you as much because you just don't need the help. That opens us up.
Anyway.
Well, pretty much. You know what that means? That opens it up for Ben Johnson to say, okay, we're gonna help out. And you hate to even use the word weaker side.
No.
But it's just when you have one dominant side. I mean, you're right. And then we know the left side's really good, but that, while Graham kind of transitions into that left guard role, you say, okay, we're not going to leave you out there on that island for a bunch of one-on-ones, right, like you was last year at right guard when you had a bunch of backups playing left guard.
Here's a receiver. Here's
right.
The formation. We can do things to make it a little bit easier.
Yes, and that for me, I think, is an offensive coordinator's dream, when you can basically just look at half of your offensive line and say, they're good. They're good. We can leave them one-on-one. Yeah. Okay, we're going to slide the left, maybe help out these guys, or you can do it depending on matchups. But that, to me, is exciting because Zeitler, we know, doesn't get beat very often in pass protection. We certainly know Penei Sewell is very rare to see him get beat as well. So you look at that right side of the offensive line, man, and it should be one of the best in the, in the NFL when it comes to right guard, right tackle.
Well, we had a chance to break down what the Lions did in free agency. In the coming weeks, we're going to talk about future needs, if there's anybody else that they could go out there and sign. There are some targets because the Lions have done a nice job of manipulating some of these contracts to keep flexibility. We're going to see some extensions. Amon-Ra St. Brown will certainly get his second contract here sometime this offseason. Jared Goff, I believe he gets extended as well. How does that affect the roster? We'll talk about that in the coming weeks. And obviously, we know the draft is coming up at the end of April. It's going to be here in Detroit. So we'll talk about what's going on around the division, what the Bears are doing, Green Bay, Minnesota. There's some interesting things going on. What does that mean for the Lions? We'll continue to break that down throughout the offseason right here on Necessary Roughness.